Andre, my dear friend, welcome back to the Bitcoin Infinity Show. Glad to have you back.
Thank you, my friend Knut. Very glad to be back. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's good to see you again, man. And I mean, how are things? How's life?
Can't complain. Life is good. The kids are alive. I have four of them and they're still breathing. So I guess I'm a good parent. Businesses have been doing great in Madeira. Not only the Bitcoin stuff that I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that, but fiat businesses, you know, are doing well. Madeira is booming with people and, you know, business and, you know, movement, and it's great. I can't complain at all.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's the threshold for good parenting. Are the kids alive or not? That's you and I have the same bar.
Another day.
Every day above ground is a good day, as they say.
Exactly. Man, well, you know, with four kids, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, and I'm not the fool, you know, the fool Daniel Prince would kill me, but, you know, if you know, we talk almost every week or whatever. They're at school, so because, you know, we need a life, me and Felipe. But we do our best to teach them, you know, or unteach them whatever bullshit they teach sometimes at school. We unteach them when they get home alive, apparently. But it's hard. You know, it's four kids with school and activities and this and that and all the businesses in life. So it's kind of crazy. So in the middle of all of this, if they are, you know, rather polite and doing well in school and alive, it's already a win. We're doing great.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, this is the thing I never got about the whole homeschooling thing. Like, of course, I don't like public schooling. I like it all to be private, and that you should choose for yourself what to teach the kids and what not to teach them, even more importantly. But there's a real service there, and the service is take the fucking kids so mom and dad can do other shit. That's the service.
But that's the critique of Daniel. That's the critique of Daniel and others who are very fond of, you know, unschooling. It's that it's basically a childcare for the parents. Which, it is. Yeah, I understand. It's true.
It's a real service. Speaking of, how is Rob doing? I saw him in Prague. They seem to be doing pretty well with the, what's it called? A place to be.
Yeah. Yes. They finally launched they're really progressing on the school now. Well, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't call it school. It's not a school. Like, it's a school alternative. Yeah,
they'll take offense.
It's like tofu for your beef, I guess. I don't know. You know, there was a big investment. Actually, it's one of the projects I wanted to mention, because it's great since we launched Free Madeira, and after the conference, a lot of things have happened here in Madeira. And one of the big things was, I think, you know, people probably know about him, Raim Tagizadegan, a big Austrian economics guy, partnered that up with A Place to Be. And they purchased a big plot of land, like 500,000 square meters, and they're doing a project in the east part of the island, in Canisal.
Yeah.
Beautiful plot. And they partnered with Sylvia and Rob at Place B and the other guys at the Unschooling project. And, you know, big ones for the future. They're doing houses there. They'll have horses. They have the Unschooling project. It's great to see.
Fantastic. Did you know that Raheem wrote the foreword for my praxeology book?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. I forget about that. Yeah, of course, you know him very well. He's a great guy.
He's coming to Lugano too. Yeah.
Cool. I'll meet him there. They're doing this, I think it was the second location for the project, because they had one plot already developing in...
Doing this that there's like some organization, I believe, where you're supposed to be able to like hop between these houses different jurisdictions, if I know. Maybe we should give a TLDR on all the things we're talking about here, because we know what we're talking about, but I don't think our listeners do. So first of all, the Free Madeira organization,
it's your fault, because you make me so comfortable that this is just a coffee conversation, man.
Yes, so I'll make you uncomfortable. All right?
Okay.
You know I can do that too.
Don't do that. Don't.
I'm just saying it's in my utility belt if needed. Anyway, or below my utility. Anyway, the Free Madeira organization is an organization that you founded together with me and Daniel, who we talked about before, and Rob, who we talked about here, the homeschooling or unschooling project going on Madeira. Our good friend Rob Brindad is doing that. But the Free Madeira organization, it's like 3 years old now, right? We started it like 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, sort Summer of. Three, you know, my memory is shit, but I think it was the... Yeah, it's 3 years old.
I think
because
it's
it was
3 years.
October, officially October 2022. Yes, 3 years old.
Yeah, so
we went to the conference in Amsterdam to introduce it with a... Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like it's 2 years ago, which means that it's absolutely 3 years ago.
Yes.
You know,
that's exactly the same feeling I have with the conference. No, every time I talked about it, it seemed it was, you know, just yesterday, and it's already.
It's like
actually the opposite. It feels it was a long time ago, and it was just last year.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The Free Madeira organization. So it's you and a bunch of other Bitcoiners, a lot of prominent Bitcoiners, decided to start this organization, and after we kicked it off with some help from the president or the guy who was president back then. Anyway, I don't know if Miguel is still in his own office. He is of the Madeira Island, which is an outermost region of the EU. So there are some special rules on Madeira that make it good for a Bitcoin place or a Bitcoin circular economy type thing starting there. And after we initiated the thing, there's been a bunch of great local enthusiasts that have been running around and orange pilling retailers and restaurants and blah blah blah, and now there's almost 150 or something. We have to talk about Charlie. We'll get there. And there's a meetup every month in a co-working space which you run called Cowork Madeira, right?
Yeah, and not only Cowork Fochal, which is the capital city of Madeira. And sometimes we do special locations, like in, you know, in partners or some retail, some restaurant that accepts Bitcoin, part of the networks. Or, for example, in November, of course it's 3 years.
Yeah.
Because we're planning a special meetup for the third anniversary of
Primavera. Oh, and we have to mention the conference. We already mentioned the conference, but some people may not know what that is. And that was a very special Bitcoin conference 1.5 years ago now, that it's called Free Madeira. We got access to a football stadium, like the biggest...
Atlantis.
Yeah, Free Bitcoin Madeira Atlantis. The biggest venue on the entire island with a spectacular view and a ton of Bitcoiners, a lot of people from the other side of the Atlantic, great speakers. Michael Saylor was there. Jack Dorsey was there. Jeff Booth was there. Like
200 plus speakers. It was crazy.
Yes, and it was a fantastic event, and practically every Bitcoiner you talk to who was there, they say that it was their favorite conference of all conferences. And
which is
that
amazing. You know, I'm still surprised. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to listen to pods anymore, and there's so many now on Bitcoin and related. But sometimes here and there, I still listen to references to Madeira, which is great. It really stuck in people's mind, not only the speakers, the attendees. Sometimes I bump, every time I travel and people come to Madeira, they still talk about the conference. A Bitcoiner the other day was calling it the Woodstock of conferences because it was what felt to them.
It was. And the genius move that you pulled off right after the conference was saying immediately that this will be every 4 years and not every year. So
I didn't say at the conference.
Immediately.
Yeah, I was pressured. I remember perfectly that I was having a lot of pressures to announce next year because people were enjoying it so much. But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, because then I decided to do it every 4 years. And honestly, it was the best decision ever, because we can keep it special, you know. We can focus as an organization on all the other things we want to do and not only be conference organizers. And we have time to plan for the next special edition that we hope it's at least as special as the original one was.
Yeah, and for us who are part of this traveling circus sort of part of the Bitcoin network, we love all the conferences, of course, but they do get repetitive when they're once a year and you've been to three of the same one already. And Madeira is so special anyway, so it's a brilliant decision, and I know everyone is looking forward to the next one, and there's a great big FOMO from those who couldn't make it to this one. Like, it's going to be insane,
take
but
a while,
in
Phil.
A good way. Yeah,
but there's already, and I won't share this, But there's already 3 years from, well, yeah, 3 years, still 3 years to go, but we're having some ideas.
Of course,
just
you are.
Put it that way.
It is 2.5 years, not three.
Okay, sorry. The clock is ticking. Like a
TikTok. TikTok.
Do you have the Bitcoin Atlantis clock block, whatever? You know, CoinKite is selling those now.
No, I'm certainly looking forward to it, and I know everyone else is too. It's a very special... The thing that stood out to me was that it was an emotional conference, much more than any other conferences. And it's not just because of
you're
you
crying,
and
Jeff. You're crying, not me.
Crying,
you're crying. Everybody.
But
everybody was crying.
Yeah, I think it had something to do with it being so family-oriented, because everyone felt like very hopeful about the future. It felt like Bitcoin is hope. But the conference was really about that, and that I think that's why it was so emotional. So fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Even I was surprised. You know, of course, when you're, and it was my first time, you know, organizing such a big conference. So the 6 months running up to it were very stressful, of course. And sometimes you think you're considering everything, but you don't. And you don't even realize the impact of some of the decisions. You know, you're not, you're unsure how things are going to unfold, because it's just decision after decision. Let's do this and organizing an era. And then it unfolds as it unfolds, basically, and it's chaos, as you know, right? But in the midst of all that chaos, some of the decisions were so accurate that, you know, it felt magic in a way. Because when I did decide them to do this way or that way, like the kids block, for example, and then all the family-oriented stuff, I didn't realize myself how well it was going to work out and how it would influence the energy of the overall week, basically. Not only the conference, everything, like the satellite events, everything. Yeah. So it was magical in a way. It was really, really good.
Yeah, and it's a really... Since then, like we were, if we go, let's get on with the conversation. Since then, Charlie and a bunch of other Bitcoiners have been orange-pilling retailers like mad on the island. So it's like 150 almost now that accept Bitcoin, like in total.
It's more than 150 now. I think it's more than 160 now. And there's a list we have now. We are now in a position, which is great. That it, not only we don't have to chase them, they come to us, because they see what's happening. We get emails and DMs all the time from people wanting to accept Bitcoin on their businesses, and we don't have to orange pill the way we did in the beginning. So it's way easier now, and now it's so spread out, especially in Funchal, of course, but all over the island. That what you see is some people living truly on a Bitcoin standard. So they get their salaries in Bitcoin and they spend Bitcoin all over, and they don't need to exchange to dirty fiat. And it's great to see. And the normalization, it's what shocked me the most. Like most of the places, of course, some are more successful than others. It's normal in such a big, a lot of different businesses nowadays. But the normalization of it, it's what shocks me in a good way the most. Because now you go to a restaurant, to a bar, and so forth. You ask to pay in Bitcoin. They don't even blink. They go and get they get the POS of the Bitcoin and they get the payment and that's it. And you know, good afternoon, see you tomorrow.
And it shows Europe that it's possible here. Like it is possible to do this in Europe. Yeah, you just have to.
And it makes me laugh so hard. When I see some comments or posts on Twitter saying, you know, Bitcoin is not, you know, failed, Lightning has failed, and you know, you don't see any Bitcoin payments anywhere, and it makes me laugh so hard. Like, you know, man, get on a plane and come to Madeira for a week. You're saying so stupid shit because I just paid for my lunch with Bitcoin today, so.
Yeah, no. And as you know, like even if you're in a place where there aren't very many restaurants and bars who accept Bitcoin, if there's a bunch of Bitcoiners around, you can be sure that Bitcoin will be used in one way or another. Like there's like, and it will solve all the financial problems of the Bitcoiners there, because it's a very versatile tool like that. So how's it going with the other stuff? Well, Monstera Books, for instance. Let's go there first.
One more about Frimadera. Yeah, because we're doing so many things at Frimadera that I would really like to share first.
Sure, absolutely.
It was not only the merchant adoption, just one part of it. We started with the workshops. We did a lot of workshops now for individuals, for businesses. And that worked really well as well. We had a lot of people coming to the workshops. And now we finished, I'll actually show you a copy. So we finally finished with the Bitcoin diploma in Portuguese from Portugal. And we have the first 10-week course starting now in September next week.
Is that the Ma Primeira Bitcoin thing?
Yes.
But in Portuguese?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Diploma Bitcoin, as we call it for us on our own version, but it's o meu primeiro Bitcoin here, as you can see, my first Bitcoin. Portuguese version, of course, it's free open source on our GitHub, so all the Portuguese-speaking countries can come and copy it and print it and do their own things elsewhere. We're actually doing a lot of relationships with other countries now. Brazil, Mozambique, we're helping Daniel in Mozambique do the workshops and so forth. We sent him a lot of stuff there. And so we're starting the 10-week course in September. We have 60 people enrolled already. And we have a meeting with a second meeting already with the Secretary of Education. And we're going to put it as an optional PDF on all the students of Madeira on the tablets. So I'm very proud of this. They'll all touch it. And the kids, you know, this generation is, you know, they will be the guys, you know, like the Bitcoin kids. Will be the guy probably teaching their kids, their parents at home as well. So it's really important. We've been doing the monthly meetups, as we discussed. And now I really want to talk about this. So we did the big conference last year, but now we're focusing on smaller, more niche events. And in April this year, we went to Lisbon because it was easier to get to the people we wanted. And we did the Free Energy Summit 25 by Frimadera. The Free Energy Summit was amazing. Like, we brought a lot of people to talk about energy and mining. So it was focused on mining and what Portugal and Madeira could leverage with Bitcoin mining and clear some of the FUDs and still unreliable information that people have. So we invited government officials and private energy producers and so forth. And it worked like a charm because now we're doing two first tests with the biggest solar and wind energy producer in Madeira and also in Azores. So this is exactly what we wanted to achieve. And we're going forward with that. So it's really good. So good that we are already confirmed for the Free Energy Summit 26 next year again, to show the results and bring other examples of what mining is doing in Europe and all over the world.
Will this be in Lisbon too?
Yes, it's just because it's easier to get to the people that, you know, the big shots, because it's a free event. It's all paid by us. It's just for education and adoption. Fortunately, we have some donors that allowed us to keep working and being able to do this kind of events for free. Shout out also for the help we've been having. And the next big goal, that it's still my goal, and I'll put it up, you know me. I won't stop until it's done. It's the Bitcoin hub in Funchal. So we really want our own physical space for the headquarters of Frimadera, for the shop, for the education premises, for co-working space for all the Bitcoin companies that are establishing now in Madeira, and it's already some and more are coming. And also to host the software engineering project, for example, that is still going on, like it's on the fifth cohort right now in September and October. The project with with the
Gigi, super Pablo, cool project. Yep.
Yes. So all of those things that are part of those collateral damage, as I call it, of the Frimadera project, are all the other projects that are popping up in Madeira as well.
Fantastic. The thing you mentioned in the beginning there with the kids, like I had this thought about like the kids growing up with this, to them it will be like if some politician or some bank tries to implement some rule saying that you can't use Lightning or you can't do this and that, they'll just be like, what the fuck are you talking about? So that, I've had this theory for a while.
I had a friend calling me today, real story. Andre, I have someone here with me that says, what's happening? He says France is banning Bitcoin.
Yeah, good luck.
That was exactly my answer. I said, what do you want me to say? Good luck. Yeah. No, good for you.
And so this is the thing. I think the EU bureaucrats, there's a lot of ban-hungry, you know, no coiners out there in the political sphere who want to harm us. And the thing is, though, they can try to implement all sorts of rules, but it's going to be very, very hard and very, very expensive to implement them. And like, what are they going to do about it? And
but
all
that's
going
to
do.
That's true to many of the regulations that are all over Europe, also locally in the Portuguese government. I say that very often, weekly. Yeah. Like they said, because they're always launching new stuff, right? As I like to say, the departments need to focus on their own survival, so they need to put stuff out there. You're a praxeology guy, you're even worse than me. Like and they always, you know, in discussions with friends, the norm is especially, it's always like, oh, but now the government has this new regulation that you need to call. Yeah, and that, really? Oh, they can't enforce all the other 99 that they did last month. How the fuck they're going to...
No. It's like Andreas Antonopoulos said back in the day. One of the best things he said, I think, is like, you can point a gun at 2 + 2, but it's still going to equal 4. Like, it's so true. And this is the thing, my pet theory about the kids growing up now, because our generation, and especially the generation above ours, so people 10 years older than we are, and our parents' generation, in general, they spoke pretty crap English, like all of them, all throughout Europe. Europe was English was not like the main language of Europe yet. And to a certain extent, it still isn't in some parts. But every
the French
kid,
and the German are the bastions of...
Still, and you know, some countries still insist on dubbing movies. I think they do that in Portugal too, by the way. I think
No. No, that's actually why Portugal and the Netherlands, for example, that didn't dub as well.
Yeah.
That's why our English is much better than all the other rest of the countries usually.
Of course. And same for the Scandinavian countries, the same thing there. But the thing is, when the internet came along, every generation that grew up on the internet and with the internet, they speak English fluently. Like my daughter speaks English to her Swedish friends. They all speak English. Like they've just switched.
My six-year-old, the youngest of my kids, she went to first grade this year, but before that she's already speaking English because, you know, she sees her friend and they play all those games that they play with the tablet with the brothers and sisters and she's already speaking English, the basics of course. But
And people don't know how recent this is because it feels like it was always that way. But I remember I was in former East Germany back in 1991, we sailed there, and no one spoke English, like literally no one. It just wasn't a thing. And so this has gone very fast. And I think within a couple of decades, and the younger generation is just baffled that their parents can't speak English. So I think Bitcoin has a similar adoption thing. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you were mentioning that, and I was thinking about those charts that we see all the time about technology adoption.
Yeah, you know, the S-curve.
Because they compare the Bitcoin to, you know, to the iPhone and to electricity and to this and that. But I've never saw it compared to the English language, the spread of English language as the common word of the world, basically.
So it's a means of communication.
Should be a good comparison, actually.
Yeah.
To Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I think that's not so much about the speed of it, but about the attitudes towards it. Like, for the kids growing up with it, it's be like, what are you talking about, no Bitcoin? Like, what do you talk about, you can't use Bitcoin? What do you talk about, capital gains, taxes? Like,
what you talk about, you can't speak English. Like, no, you know, how can I communicate with you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're speaking Solana. Oh, what the fuck? Nobody's... Oh, yeah, sorry for you. You know, that's, you know, a dying language. I know many have died in the past.
Yeah, was Solana is the Esperanto is the equivalent in the language where
But in crypto, it's worth, it's like the, oh, there's like 20 million versions of Esperanto. Yeah, they're all gonna fucking die, don't worry. Because so, things will gravitate to the common language. You know, it's obvious, right?
Yes. And most people don't speak Elvish or Dothraki or Klingon. Like
you do, you nerd.
Not very much. Not every day. Hello there, children. Have you ever thought about a $5 wrench attack or $15 wrench attack? What if someone were to hit you on the head and try to take your Bitcoin with this? Bitcoin transactions are irreversible, and if someone else gets access to your private keys, your money is gone. BitVault is the first Bitcoin wallet that protects you from both physical and digital attacks. It upgrades security with multisig and time lock, which is a very interesting feature of Bitcoin. This means that transactions are locked for 2 hours to 15 days, giving you enough time to intervene and revert the transaction so the money goes back to you, even though the attacker thinks they got access to the money. So head to bitvault.sv to secure your lifetime subscription now. There are only 42 of those available for $199. Time is running out. Yeah, anything more about Free Madeira? Like,
there's probably more. There's probably more. We're doing a lot of stuff. We also changed, we updated the website. Now it's a new website, new image, because it's also important to communicate. We're doing newsletters every month. So actually, I wanted to invite people to go to the website and as you say, subscribe to the newsletter, because it's actually the best way to get the news. We don't bother a lot. It's once a month. We send all the stuff we're doing. I think it's good information. Also, if you're in Europe especially, we launched the shop now, shop.primadera.org. We have a lot of stuff there, not only the books of Monserrat that we'll speak about, but also a lot of hardware, you know, like the cold cards and everything that may be interesting, of course, Bitcoin only, for Bitcoiners from Europe especially because of the shipping and the customs and so forth. And all the profits, of course, help the Free Madeira Association to keep up the good work.
Fantastic.
Please visit the website.
Yeah, and I can personally attest to that newsletter being awesome. Like, I read it every time. Yeah, and it's really good.
Mafalda and Luisa, and this is another shout out to the team, because most of the team was assembled during the conference. Mafalda, Luisa, Charlie, Carolina, they were so fucking amazing during the conference that I basically hired them to keep up the work of Free Madeira.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I mean, you took such good care of me that day in Amsterdam the other year also. You remember that? That was great. And we had the pleasure of having them over in Helsinki for BTC Hell a month back. Yeah.
Sorry I didn't go, but there was a panel on Free Madeira with some of the people. Charlie was there, for example, and Enrique, our head of education.
Yep.
Plus, I think it was Jeff, Daniel, Prince, Jeff Booth, and I think Joe Nakamoto was on stage as well. So
I think
they were also speaking about the stuff we're doing at Free Madeira and the plans. Joe has been doing a lot of, if you go to the Joe YouTube channel, there's a lot of videos about Madeira. So it's also cool to see. So.
And we love Joe and everything he does. So like he has embraced the cringe in all the correct ways, I think. And he's also under
that's
the
a
plan.
Good way to put it.
Yeah,
good.
And he's also under the Plan B umbrella,
Plan B
with, as well as us, like with our Bitcoin Infinity Academy, our educational effort here. So
yes.
And I love to see Joe at all the conferences. We play a lot together at the Rockamotos and stuff, and it's always great.
Oh
yeah. And of course, Jeff and Daniel were also founders of the Free Madeira organization back in the day. I think Daniel and I are actually vice presidents, aren't we?
Yes, officially. But most important, you are friends and advisors. And actually, on the new website, we didn't launch yet, but we're going to put a new tab there with all the people that, you know, that we call friends and advisors, but you know, especially people we can lean into when we need anything, and they're always there for some advice and or whatever to help Free Madeira. And the list is humongous and great, because we have so many great people there that I'm very fortunate nowadays to call them friends. So,
and the list keeps growing. I mean, I know the group that started, but like pretty soon the list was doubled with all sorts of other.
Yeah, I think
great
it tripled
friends.
Already.
It's fantastic. No, and it's been so great to like follow what's happened to these people that were there and started it over the years. Now, Joe, to begin with, has had a great career, and Larry released his book the other.
Yes.
And we're selling it for sales on our site,
and we're publishing it in Portuguese.
Fantastic.
At Mosera Books. Yes.
And a lot of good things happening. So Troy is doing great work. All of them, like
absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, Mosera Books. What's going on with Mosera Books? That's your publishing house, right, for Portuguese translations of Bitcoin books.
Yes, focused on Portuguese and Portuguese only, although we do work on all Portuguese-speaking countries, Portugal, Brazil, Angola, and Mozambique. Well, soon Angola, Mozambique is already starting, but Brazil already started, and of course we are based in Portugal, so it's going great. You know, publishing is a hard business, but we do it mostly for the education part and, you know, out of spite, because we really want to do it. And we have great books, as you know. We already launched a long time ago The Price of Tomorrow, The Bullish Case for Bitcoin, Thank God for Bitcoin, 21 Lessons, Everything Divided by 21 by someone you might know.
Yeah.
But now we are focusing again on launching more books. And now, man, we went crazy. We went ballistic. So I'll tell you some of the titles that are going to launch very soon. So we are launching The Sovereign Individual, which is a first.
Fantastic.
In Portuguese right now. We are launching both of Alex Gladstein books, Check Your Financial Privilege and Hidden Repression. Starting with Hidden Repression, because it was actually an ask from Angola and Mozambique, because I think they think it's one of the, you know, very important books for the global south, as Obi used to call it, right? And
yeah,
for obvious reasons, right? But we are launching also Fiat Foods, Broken Money. What else? We are launching the Genesis book, The Big Print, as we mentioned, from Larry. And we are going to go for the Principles of Economics by Safdien as well.
Awesome.
And the Gold Standard that he didn't finish is going to put out very soon. We're already working to translate that to Portuguese as well. So we're doing a lot of books now, and it's going to be great.
Sounds fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's more. There's this fund, right? That's the biggest news.
Yeah, it's the more recent news. So, because I didn't already have a lot of stuff to scratch myself on, I decided to launch an investment fund. So,
but, yeah, you had too little to do, of course, with four kids
course,
and seven
you know,
companies.
I was too much free time, I guess, during the coffee break.
You.
So I had So, as you already explained, you know, I think a lot of people that are listening may already know about Madeira and Madeira Island as being an outermost region of Europe. We're in the middle of the Atlantic. And basically, quality of life here is amazing, as you can attest and you can be a witness to. It's really good to live here. So there was a lot of demands on the Bitcoin space, as you know, for Plan Bs and citizenship options and so forth. And Portugal does have the Golden Visa program established for a while now. But there was no good options for Bitcoiners. Just for people to understand, Golden Visa is only available through investment funds nowadays. You know, before it was available through real estate and other options. Now it's only available through investment funds. And, you know, 99% of the investment funds out there that are eligible for the Golden Visa are fiat-based stuff, right? Businesses.
Yes.
So you have to invest the 500,000 euros, which is the minimum to be eligible for the Golden Visa, in a solar project somewhere in the south of Portugal, as an example, right? So you're basically trading your Bitcoin or losing exposure to the Bitcoin for 8 years or 10 years, which is the common duration of a fund like this, for fiat-based businesses where they promise like 5%. You know, yield on your fiat money, which is, of course, a terrible investment for a Bitcoiner, right? Like, it's nightmarish even.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
somewhere around, I don't know, April last year, I saw something online. There was an investment fund that was promising that they would invest in Bitcoin. And that made me very curious because I never saw anything like that before. So I went and researched it. But in the end, you know, it was a, well, they had exposure to Bitcoin, but through BlackRock ETFs. And a lot of it, according to the rules, they would invest in Web3 and blockchain startups in, you know, in Lisbon or the mainland, Portugal at least. So that was red flag all over for a Bitcoiner, right?
Yes.
But I saw that, and it wasn't immediate, but I, you know, what the fuck? Did they, you know, it's, well, maybe I guess a little bit better than the fiat-based businesses, because at least you don't lose exposure to Bitcoin in a part of the investment, but the term, but it's not great. So, but then it struck me, I said, well, but if these guys can do this, maybe I can create a better option for Bitcoiners. So I reached out to a partner, which is a lawyer on this, you know, big shot law firm in Lisbon. And we started having discussions about the possibility of designing a better fund. And in the end, it was indeed possible. And I decided to do this fund called the Basalto Fund, where 80%, a minimum of 80% of the investment will go to spot Bitcoin, and it will be custodied with NYDIG. Shout out to NYDIG for being, you know, such good partners in this relationship as well. In my view, the most renowned firm in the world in you know, doing this. And the other up to 20%, depending on the investment opportunities and timing and so forth, will be invested in the Bitcoin ecosystem as a venture capital through EgoDebt Capital. Jeff Boots, Preston Pish, Lynn Alden, Nico and Andy are doing a great job there. And we believe their work. And so we are invested in them for the long term. So it's basically a very simple proposition and a much better option for Bitcoiners than what's out there in the market.
Fantastic. And what can you do with a golden visa once you get it?
So the investment makes you eligible for the golden visa. And the golden visa is the process on the side that we can help, of course. So you can, you know, use whatever you want for that. You can use a law firm in Lisbon, for example. There's a lot of people that can help with the process. You get immediate residency, so you can live in Portugal if you so wish. Although you don't have to, you only have to stay in Portugal for 2 weeks every 2 years, so basically a week per year. And then you can reunite the family, so wife or spouse and dependent kids and dependent parents can join you. And 5 years later, you get the passport and the nationality. So that's the cherry on top of the cake.
So instead of making an investment in, say, Antigua and Barbuda or some Caribbean island, you can now do it in an Atlantic island. Well, they're Atlantic islands too, aren't they? But you can now do it on this side of the Atlantic.
You could get an EU pass. Yeah, you could do it in the past as well. But again, on those fiat investments that Bitcoiners don't really want to put their money in. So no, the idea is, you know, we had a post the other day on Twitter and Nostra and all the places, which I think is the best way to explain. If you want a citizenship, if you want a plan B, if you're looking for a Portuguese passport or EU passports, right? We can help you do a forced hodl on your Bitcoin for 8 years. You get the nationality.
Yeah.
You are forced to hodl your investment in Bitcoin for 8 years. And because of the 20% on the EgoDebt on the VC side, the full idea is by the end of the 8 years, when we liquidate the fund, we'll give you more sats back than you invested in the beginning.
Huh.
We want to be a sats flow positive fund.
That's going to be tricky in 8 years from now, though.
Even though
the purchasing power will go up. So what will you do after the year 20? Yeah.
I mean sats flow positive.
Yeah, so more sats than 8 years from now than now. That is still possible, but in the future, that's going to be harder and harder and harder every single year until that's virtually impossible, I think. But that's not saying that purchasing power can't go up, because that's sort of how purchasing power goes up. So yes, you're safe either way.
Not only the, you know, the unit of measure of the fund, of course, it's euros, but as a Bitcoiner, I want to be sat deposit. That's my goal. I think to force hodling the 80%. So that's enough. And the 20% on Bitcoin, I do believe on their work. I do believe a lot on the work of EgoDebt. And I will believe that we will be able to have some liquidation events, some positive action on the venture fund that will allow us to have more sats in the end, even with the management fee, because we do charge a 2% management fee every year during the duration of the fund. Those 20% will cover it and we'll be able to pay out more sats back than in the beginning. Of course, in euros, it's going to be way higher, but that, you know, or, you know, but of course, euros will be way lower as well. So,
yeah, this is a big promise, Andre, but I think I could believe you. Like, if there's any companies in the future that can actually outperform Bitcoin, it's probably these companies that are making the Bitcoin ecosystem happen.
That's our goal. But as I used to say, when we talk about this, the way I designed the fund, worst case scenario, let's say all of the ego that investment goes to zero, you still have 80% secured in spot Bitcoin. So that's your.
Yeah.
And you get the nationality, you get the passport in the end. So.
Yeah. So instead of investing in shit, you can invest in the best asset on earth. And be forced to hold them.
That's a good way to put it.
Gloves up. We know of a knockout Bitcoin wallet. It's the Bitbox O2 Nova Edition, and you can get it at bitbox.swiss. This little thingy has the latest security chip, and you can plug it straight into your iPhone, and it's an overall awesome device. The software interface is super smooth, and it's a very secure hardware wallet. They're one of the oldest hardware wallets in the business. So go to bitbox.swiss/infinity and check out the new Nova Edition of the Bitbox right now. Code Infinity gets you a discount. And if you go to bitbox.swiss/infinity, you will automatically get that discount. So there. $15 wrench attacks are one thing, but what if you die? You need some inheritance planning. We have some very wonderful Aussie friends that can take care of that for you. They're called the Bitcoin Advisor. You find them at the Bitcoin Advisor with an ER, not an OR at the end, .com. And they can secure your Bitcoins for generations for a very low fee. So go to bitcoinadvisor.com and check out their inheritance planning stuff right now.
Yours.
Yeah. No, and it's so insane when you think about capital gains taxes on Bitcoin. Like the thing, you're actually getting punished for not having your money diluted. That's what it is, because the number of Bitcoins stays the same. Like if you hold 10 Bitcoin for a decade, it's still 10 Bitcoin, right?
But that's how good of an asset it is, because people are, even with capital gains.
Yeah.
As high as some countries have it, and that's another thing of Portugal. We don't have capital gains on the personal level on Bitcoin if you hodl for 1 year plus.
Yes.
But some countries they have stupid, amazingly high capital tax gains on Bitcoin, and even so, it's a better option than just melting away your fiat, right?
Yeah, but think about the absurdity of calling it gains when it's actually just denominating in something that doesn't inflate.
Yes.
Because the natural state of the free market is deflation, as Jeff likes to say. Like, this is what it is. It's just you're using a better, you're viewing the world through a better lens and you're getting punished for it. It's absolutely insane to me.
As you know, Beth, the current economic, whatever powers to be, are the full of those contradictions and those
absolutely they're everywhere, and all capital gains taxes
and
I would
the
say
way
all
they stamp things in the yeah
but when you when
it
you
is
see
what it
like
is,
that
as my wife used to like to say, it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
let's keep moving,
Yeah, what can you do except that?
Well, you can do the good work as me and you are doing. I think we're doing great on that part. Definitely not
you.
Couch potatoes. Yeah. We are doing education, we're doing adoption, we're doing whatever it takes to to increase the exposure of the good word to other people and to friends, and it starts by those around me. And honestly, you know, I did make a splash in Madrid. A lot of things changed because we took action. Yeah. And that's honestly fucking amazing to see. So we're doing the good work. So.
And I mean, you are the second most humble man in Bitcoin. So, I mean, I'm the humblest, of course. Like, I've always been. So you shouldn't be ashamed of that. So you're right up there with the top. Yeah. Okay.
Or with the low.
No, it's great. It's great to see that it's
here. It's here.
And my books are the best books ever written by any human being. And that's coming from the humblest Bitcoiner in the world. So that's not saying little.
You should pay capital gains tax after reading a book because it's the best asset in the world.
Capital pains tax. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And man, it's good to see you again. And we're going to see each other in real life for the first time in a little while. We haven't seen each other. Yes. We saw each other a lot a couple of years back, but you're coming both to Bulgaria and to Lugano.
I am. And I have some piece of news. I'm also going to Manchester for Bitfest. Nathan, I was with Nathan Day from BTC Map in Curaçao, actually, a couple of weeks ago. I was invited by Peter Kroll from the BTC Reef there, the BTC Curaçao project, which is really cool. We went to a tech conference and had this private meeting talking about Primadara. And of course, Nathan was speaking about the BTC Map project and so forth. And yeah, Nathan convinced me to go to Manchester as well. So I guess I'm traveling a bit more this year again. I'll go to Manchester and then Sofia and Lugano. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good to pay for a beer, man, and have a chat together again in real life.
Yeah. It's going to be real good. Oh, I lost my train of thought. I had something, but I lost it. Yeah. Nathan and
best author in the world, man.
Is it? Speaker's block, like Coster's block, whatever. Nathan, we can speak about btcmap.org, which is great.
Yeah, they're doing great work, man. They actually have a lot of, because I saw his presentation in Curaçao, they have a lot of news incoming as well. So they're doing great work, and the map is more fluid and with more stuff. It's very, very usable nowadays. We use it a lot at Madeira. It's our first go-to place, especially for people who are here for the first time and so forth, so they get to know around and the businesses that accept Bitcoin. And shout out to Nathan for the amazing work he's been doing there.
Yeah. And we have, you know, Orange Pill app and now Satlantis coming too. Those projects are super interesting too, and just connecting Bitcoiners locally and in real life. There are so many to, and not to forget Vexel. I love that project. Do you know about it?
I know. I've met some people of Vexel, of course. I remember Grafton and so forth. Yeah. So we don't use Vexel a lot in Madrid. It was not very established here. Maybe you don't need speak
it.
With him.
You don't need it.
Yeah, that's the thing, maybe, because it was so easy for us, or it's so easy for us to go and, you know, merchant and accept. But there's always some niche, you know, peer-to-peer stuff that, you know, maybe a private market for used stuff, and people can use it for some stuff. But, you know, we can't do everything at the same time also. It's a focus.
No, but I love that the surrounding tools around Bitcoin are evolving towards the peer-to-peer mentality and towards the decentralized. I hate that word in certain senses of it when, you know, shitcoiners throw it around, but things like Noster and stuff, like truly uncensorable and between people. I mean, that's, we're taking humanity back to humanity.
Talking about Noster, we can talk a little bit about sovereign engineering. So, it's already the fifth cohort. We have a new CEO, Yo. His name is Yo. He's the CEO, and he's Yo. Yo.
CEO, Yo.
Yeah. CEO, Yo. Yo, CEO. Yo,
CEO. Yo, CEO, Yo. Hey, Yo. Yo, CEO, Yo.
But it is freaking amazing. It's been working great. We have 21 plus developers right now. A lot of captains now running the show, as well as Justin Moon and Tim Boomer and, you know, Paul Miller. And there's such a serendipity of ideas on that cohort. You know, I'm not tech guy, but even I get, you know, the emoji, like, and they're vibe coding new stuff every freaking week. You see the demo days and you get optimistic about the world, really. It's amazing. Yeah. So, you know, I couldn't live without referencing sovereign engineering and the work that Gigi has done, and it's going to keep evolving. So it's...
No, I love it. Like, the way I like to phrase it is that Noster is the most beautiful clusterfuck on the internet. because it is a bit of a clusterfuck, right?
it's a bit of a mess, but if you see, honestly, first-hand view on some of the stuff they're really building on the back, on top of these protocols. You know, I think last time I saw Gigi, actually, on this shift, when it started on 1st of September, the fifth cohort, and Gigi always does this first introduction to the group and so forth, I had some little tears running down my face, because it's, you know, man, it's really something else. I think, of course, it takes time and it's a new thing, but it does have a slight chance to change the world as well, along with Bitcoin. It's amazing what they're doing with this stuff.
Yeah, and it's such a good fit, and for him to found this passion project or passion projects, like, because it's not one project, it's like touching everything, and it's great. I miss Madeira so much. I'm traveling too much to other places, so I don't really have time to just fuck off to Madeira every once in a while. But I wish I did, because I love it, as you know.
But you know, you're welcome anytime. So
yes, I do know that. It feels like a second home to me that I haven't visited for a long time.
It is.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. And I'm every time I get that newsletter, or every time I see something from the island, or when I see one of Joe's videos where he speaks Portuguese and buys coffees here and there, it's like, yeah, I grin a lot. And like, I'm very happy to see it. It's just a special place in my heart, of course. And I'm going to try to make it to Madeira in 2026, for sure. Man. And I want to bring my brothers. None of them have been there, and I have two of them. Okay. So they, one of those places that they, and they really want to go to Bitcoiner places too, and just live the lifestyle. So I'd love to show them the island. Yeah. Anything else on your mind before we wrap this up? We're coming up on the hour, right?
I don't know. I think not from, there are always stuff we can talk about, but we will be here all week. And, you know, I like to talk about the positive stuff. And there's a lot of craziness in the world as well right now that I think we should not focus at all. Be attentive, but not focus our energy on that. And just, you know, keep up the good work on those that surround us and where we can impact the best. And keep grinding forward.
No, that's super important. Like, you can choose not to let fear dictate your actions.
And yes.
Choose to be optimistic. It's a rational choice, because I put this in the last chapter of the new edition of the Praxeology book. There's a reference to the Shawshank Redemption. You remember that movie, prison movie?
Yes.
So it's really a movie about hope. There's an inmate that is 90 years old that gets released, and 2 weeks later he hangs himself because he's gotten so used to the institutionalized lifestyle. So he's getting his three free meals per day. They're all shit. He can't do anything because his government, I mean, the prison guards, they don't tell. He has to follow the rules. There are walls surrounding him at all times, but he has his bedtime. He has his routines, and that becomes his life. And Morgan Freeman's character tells Andy, the protagonist, that hope is a dangerous thing, because hope can kill a man. Look what happened to this Brooks guy. But Andy refuses to not have hope. And in the dark, he digs himself a tunnel while just keeps building, really.
Keeps building for freedom, basically.
For freedom. And then he escapes, and it shows everyone else that hope was actually worth it. And the sense morale is that I think hope is a rational choice. It's axiomatically correct, even from a human action standpoint. Because the reason Morgan Freeman gives to Andy that he should stay institutionalized and give in to fear and not have hope is that he's going to die in prison, and he better get used to the thought. But here's the thing. You're going to die anyway, regardless of if you have hope or not. So you might as well have it and just get the fuck out. Get on fucking building
and
be up to
it. Or die trying.
Or die trying. Yeah. stop getting poor or die trying. That's what Bitcoin is all about.
And it's true. We try to also be positive with them, and you know, and they focus on their own skills and their own life and what the future might hold and on the beautiful things of the world instead of focusing. Not great with some of the things that are happening out there. We hopefully can influence at least part of it to escape that, you know, gray world.
Yeah. So where do you want to send the listeners? Like freemadeira.com, of course.
Yeah, freemadeira.com, .org, sorry.
Freemadeira.org,
because we are an organization, so we kind of established the org side of it. You can follow us also on Twitter and on Nostra and, you know, all the other places. And all the other projects are there as well, Sovereign Engineering on Nostra, of course. But Basalto, for example, is everywhere on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and, you know. So, but if you go to freemadeira.org and you subscribe to the newsletter, as we mentioned, I think it's the best way to keep in touch with all the news of Freemadeira and, you know, to Twitter subscription, and that's it. And, you know, anything you need from us, just reach out, send a DM, an email, whatever, we'll be here.
So if you want to visit the island, there will be some Bitcoiner somewhere to take care of you, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just reach out.
There's a Telegram group. Yeah. There's a big free Madeira Telegram group and people are always chatting there. So if you're new to Madeira or you're planning on coming or whatever, just, you know, go to the Telegram group, introduce yourself, and there's many Bitcoiners that will help you.
Absolutely. Don't harass Andre. That's an important one. He has on his plate.
You can as well, but you know, sometimes I do miss some replies and take a long time to reply because there's so many stuff incoming and it's hard.
Yeah, and we hope to see other places in the world do the Free Madeira thing and start their own little, you know, Bitcoin Beach, Free Madeira, like all these.
We're already making some impact because, as I told you, Daniel started in Mozambique and we're giving him a lot of guidance.
Which Daniel is that?
Daniel Teju, I think. Well, he's from Mozambique, so he's starting the community there as well. We're helping him with and guidance. We already have private conversations with many people to reach out and ask us for, you know, best practices, what worked, what didn't work, which is great. And we are always here to help such cases because I do truly believe that the communities, as they are flourishing, and they are flourishing a lot around the world, are making a huge impact on how Bitcoin is perceived and adopted.
Absolutely. I remember being in a couple of those meetings in the beginning of when we started the organization, talked to all these other places and the people involved. I should talk to that Daniel guy. I mean, I spent half a year in Mozambique growing up in Maputo.
Oh, okay.
So I'd love to return one day.
I can interview you.
See how it is. Yeah, you should.
I'll interview you to Daniel for sure. Yeah.
Fantastic. Andre, it's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward a lot to seeing you in Sofia and Lugano, and good luck with everything, including the kids and all your projects.
Keep them alive. Thank you, man. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, likewise. And you're doing great work and you're a role model to many people, including me. So,
which is something still weird, a bit weird to get accustomed to. You know, I actually remembered, I think we had a conversation a long time about this, and I had the same view. Now in Curaçao, for example, I went there and I spoke to the people and so forth. And in the end, people were, you know, they were asking for selfies with me and asking for pictures. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is weird.
Yes.
Why do they want to take a picture with me? Like, what's happening here?
I know that feeling.
Yeah, I know. We had a conversation about that a long time ago. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm happy. At the same time, it's let's say an interesting feeling at least, because you understand you're being recognized by something that people value. So it's great.
It's appreciation. It's what it is.
Yeah.
There's a great Marilyn Monroe quote about that. That's it. The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Well, that could have been the CEO of Ryanair. Also.
Anyway. Thank you very much. Like, subscribe, and brush your teeth. This has been the Bitcoin Infinity Show. Hasta la vista.